Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. God's one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise God. This is a Macedonian call around the globe coming to you again from Springboro, Ohio. I'm Sister Joanna Green with my husband, Evangelist Clint Green, and I want to give a big shout-out to Brother Green right here. His birthday is today, and I thank the Lord for him. And we had a really good time. We're getting a late start here tonight just because we had a little cake for him and the family just left. So we want to praise God for another birthday for Evangelist Clint Green. If you want to call in and be a part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. If you want to reach us by email, feel free to email us at heisrisen38@aol.com. It's heisrisen38@aol.com. Praise God. Tonight is, we thought about doing this again, the elect of God, so this would be part two. So if you'll call in and be a part of this, if you have a prayer request, if you are a preacher or you want to help us preach, we believe in King James Bible only, and to us that's the only word of God. Praise the Lord. So at this time we're going to have Rachel. She's going to come in and she's going to give us her scripture.
For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, for should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Hallelujah. That's Rachel. She's 10 years old, and we thank God for her. And at this time, we've got a caller here. We want you to come in. It looks like it might be Sister Gladys, 661.
Hi, Sister Joanna. This is Sister Gladys in Moorhead, Kentucky.
Praise God. Hallelujah, sis. Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood, Sister Yearwood just called and said that they wanted special prayer requests for Brother Yearwood. He's not feeling well tonight at all, so he's not going to be able to be with us tonight. So we're just going to go how the Lord leads us, and hopefully little later on, maybe Pastor John will call in, Brother John Samples in Georgia. And so at this time, we're going to we're going to play this here song, and just we'll have you come in and just obey God, Sister Gladys, however the Lord leads you, okay?
Okay, whichever way you want to do it, Sister Joanna. If you want to go ahead with you and Brother Green. I'm fine with whichever way you want to do it.
Okay, sis, we appreciate that. And if you want to, again, you want to be a part of this broadcast, call in at 347-989-8862. Praise God.
Well, Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll, and he holds my hand. When I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world is blowing strong, I know that Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder.
Praise God. If you want to be a part of this broadcast, it's 347-989-8862. And again, we went with part two tonight. Last week's broadcast was about the elect of God. So however the panelists want to go with that is fine, chosen of God, born again, however. So we just want to encourage somebody tonight. That's what this is all about. We are so excited to be with you, and this is reaching the world for Christ, and that's what Brother Yearwood's broadcast the name of it is Reaching the World for Christ. So we're the Macedonian call around the globe, and I thank God that one day we heard that call, that Macedonian call to come help. Praise the Lord. And that's all we want to do is be a servant for the Most High God. And while time is running short and we can look around and we can see things coming to pass of the Bible and how we know the Lord is coming soon, praise God. And we must be ready, and we want to get everybody we can to try to help them to make it in. And said it last week, I might have said it on Brother Yearwood's broadcast, that we are under the floor of heaven, but we're on the roof of hell, and we're in that there space in between, and this is our getting ready place, and this is the only place that we'll ever have, the only time we'll ever have to get ready. Praise the Lord. The Bible speaks of how a tree falleth, so shall it lay. How you and I, if we were to go by the grave, and however we were to die, whether we die in sin, whether we die born again, is going to choose, it's going to be our destiny. Praise the Lord. It's going to be where we're going to make our eternal life. It's going to be one place or another. So we've got several requests coming in here tonight. Brother Tim Hall, he says we still need prayer. So continue to remember him, and he really needs a touch in his health. So remember that. And Sister Becky Fritz says urgent prayer request for her daughter. And then she knows the Lord knows all about it. She didn't go into any detail. Ann Hagenbotham says her sister-in-law has cancer. The cancer has returned. My husband is tired too often lately. Two family church members has gone home, and one has left behind a knee. And wait a minute. The ones left behind need a touch of his comfort that have lost their loved ones. The devil is trying to steal my joy. So we know, Sister Ann, if you're hearing us tonight, that the devil is really, really, he knows his time is short. And I've been saying this for months now, that the devil is really trying to wear out the saints. But we know we're on the winning side, and we're here to encourage each other, to lift up one another, and to most of all lift up our Most High God. Our God is alive. Praise the Lord. And they come out with a movie, I hear, that God's not dead. And, you know, I didn't even know that last week. And I was saying that we don't worship a false God that you could sit up on your mantle and dust him off. And our God's alive. He hears us. His arm's not too short that he cannot answer. Praise the Lord. His ear is out to hear us. He has an all-seeing eye. Praise God. And we're on the winning side tonight. Praise the Lord. Choose Jesus. He's the only way to make it to eternal life in heaven. Praise God. He is the only way. He's the door. And he said, you must come in at the door. And so praise the Lord. Sister Gladys, you go right ahead, sis, and you obey God. And you just take all the time you need. There's no hurry tonight.
Okay, sis, I will. I praise God for the opportunity. I thank you and Brother Green for allowing me to join you on your broadcast. You know, I've been feasting and feeding on the broadcasts I've missed lately. I wanted to hear the one about the writing on the wall. And I was listening to the scriptures today of what we preached on last week about the elect of God. And I praise God that I'm part of the election of God. I pray that I'm a chosen person in the generation of God. And I thank him that he's raised me up and set me aside. And he chose me in my mother's womb. And I praise him for that. I was destined to do his will, and I thank him for that. I give him all the glory for raising me up out of sickness and many things that in trials and tests. And that's a good song that you played, because God's word is true, and he will go forth and do whatever he needs to do for his saints. He'll hold back the enemy when he gets too forward and trying to wear out the saints, like you just said. It's the truth. We're in our last days. We're in the perilous times. I believe that. We're in the beginning of sorrows, and I believe that. But soon perilous times will come. And I believe that when we need to prepare ourselves, be watchmen on the wall. We need to watch and pray as Jesus has told us to do. And I may skip around with my scriptures. I feel bad that Brother Yearwood's sick. We'll pray for him, like you said. I also want to throw in a scripture, a prayer request, if you don't mind. There's a Damascus house that's being set up in Mount Sterling, Kentucky. There's a lot of people, Sister Green, that need help today. They're crying out for help, and many people want to turn them away. They want to judge them before they even get a chance. And those are the alcoholics in the area that is set up for 90 men that can go in there and get help and get clean from the alcohol or the drugs. And I praise God for that, because drug addicts need a chance also. You know, they don't want to be a drug addict. Like I've said many times on this broadcast, if you're a drug addict, God will meet you on your knees. He will bring you out of whatever you're into that you don't want to be. And I don't believe they want to waste away their life. And I don't believe that people that are drunkards and alcoholics want to waste away their life and destroy their marriages and lose their children. I don't believe that, Sister Green. But I praise God that God is placing Christian people to set up places like this Damascus house. And that's one prayer request I have tonight. I also want to pray for a man named Mark. He's a friend of mine, and he needs a touch from the Lord. He has kidney stones. And recently there was a brother in the church that God crushed and smashed and destroyed those things that were in his body. And I thank God for that. When people really believe in God and they lift him up into the throne room of God, and we come in together, two or more, God said he'd move. And we can speak to those mountains that are in our life. And that song was very suitable for me, because the last few days, I'm not going to give the devil any glory. God's bringing us out. And the Lord hears our cry. He said he would answer before we cry, and I praise him for that. We can't look at circumstances today, and if anyone's hearing my voice and they look around and say, well, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to even get up out of the bed? But, you know, I've learned a long time ago, there were times I had to praise God before I put my feet on the floor. You know, I don't want to talk about my sickness all the time, but if that helps one person that listens to this broadcast, Sister Green, amen. I want them to know, if they put their hand in Jesus' hand, they can say, God, give me your strength. And there's many times I've had to do that watching Sarah. But, you know, there was a time I worked full-time at a library, full-time, 40 hours a week. But there's times, Sister Green, I'm watching this grandbaby for 46 hours a week. So I give God all glory that I'm able to pick her up and put her in the crib. I thank God, because there was a time I couldn't do that. My first baby, my grandbaby, I wasn't able to. They had to hand me the baby. But God's doing miracles, and He's doing wonderful things with this broadcast along with the Yearwood. And I'll get started. Like, you may have offered me plenty of time, but I want to really give you and Brother Green plenty of time also. It says in Isaiah 45, verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. You know, many people are putting their trust in the stocks, and they're putting their money in Wall Street, and I don't know very much about those things, but I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because I know he's the one that breathed life into my body. He's the one that touched my body when I was on the deathbed. He's the one that gives me strength to walk each day. You know, many people, if they've never been sick, Sister Green, they don't know what it's like if you're not able to clean your home, and you feel very much shamed. But I praise God that he's given me the strength to do the things I need to do. I glorify him. I have much to praise God for. I thank him for soon. On June 1st, my husband will be married, husband and I, 30 years. That's something to praise God for. You know, many times people think, I'm going to jump into this marriage, but they don't really know what love is all about. You know, but I've always told my children, you put God in the center of your marriage, and it will work. It can't fail, because God will help both sides. I want to go on to Scripture, Isaiah 51 and 5. I read a lot in Isaiah today. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and on mine arms shall they trust. Like I just got done saying, I put my trust in the Lord, because he can never fail me. He said his promises are yea and amen. And when he gives me a promise in the Word of God, I can count on it. There's many nights and many times. My favorite scriptures in Psalms is Psalms 91. I read it and I place my children's name in it. I'm not adding to or taking away, but I put in those parts where I know that he will keep my children covered. He will keep me and my household covered. And I believe in that. I don't believe I'm changing the Word of God. I'm just speaking it. He said, speak those things that are not as though they were. And I praise God for that. He wants us to believe and speak those things. There's life and death in our tongue. And we can surely cut someone down, and that can do more damage. But if I speak life into a dead situation, I know He'll raise it up from where it is and make it what He wants it to be. I've spoken many times, and many people that listen to this broadcast, I know they know my family, and sometimes they know my situation, and many have judged us wrongly. So I know this much. My son will preach the Word of God again, and my daughter will praise the songs of Zion. She will sing again with the anointed scriptures, and she will sing again the anointed verses from those lyrics. And I praise God that for that ahead of time. You know, praise is our weapon of warfare, Sister Joanna. And many nights, God has given me strength to shout whatever He wants me to do. But it shouts me out of my way of trouble, and I praise Him tonight for all He's doing for me. I want to go down to Isaiah 51, 7 through 11. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. I claim that for my household. You know, I may not have been raised in a Christian home, but I claim my generation, where I'm being raised out of, my children and their children's children. And I give God the glory, because He'll do what we ask. And if we speak it forth and continuously speak it forth and believe it, I believe it will come to pass. In verse 9, it says, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? God had enough love within His heart to show those people compassion so they could cross over dry land. He put that sea back, and in man's ability, it couldn't happen. But the Egyptians drowned it in that sea. But that's the love of God we have. And like you said, you know, there's many people that worship Buddha, and they worship some kind of idol. But my God is a breathing God. He's a speaking God. He speaks to me. He talks to my spirit. And I praise Him for that, Sister Joanna. You're not going to get that everywhere. And I thank Him. He's the only God. You know, many people say I the only God is Allah. You know, I want to give a quick testimony about a man. He was Muslim, and people need to understand that God can save them also. And there's a man that was a Muslim that had been beaten, and recently he was put in prison. He got to see two men beheaded, that they said, if you will bow and if you will bend to Allah, we will release you. He said, I will not bend and I will not bow. And that man, he said that they imprisoned him because he held on to a Bible. But the very thing they didn't take away, Sister Joanna, and the thing that puzzled him is they didn't take his Bible. Praise God for that, because he read the scripture, an army war and camp around him. When we're in trouble, we can call upon the Lord to send and dispense angels our way, and He will protect us. He will send ministering and healing angels, I believe, and I thank Him for that. You know, there are true angels that will come by our side. And that night, you know, there was a mean general that would beat him, and he tormented this man and tortured him. Then in the middle of the night, that guy came to this man that's converted from a Muslim to a Christian now, that's preaching the gospel. He keeps telling the sister that I know, he said, keep sending the Bibles. Don't worry about it causing trouble. Keep sending the Bibles, and we'll keep sending them out. And I praise God for that. He's got true faith overseas, and I thank Him that we are reaching out. And on this broadcast, we're reaching many nations where they have to hide in the bushes to praise and glorify our God. You know, we should be ashamed at times when we sit on our pews and we get comfortable. We grumble and complain, but we shouldn't ever do that, because there's some people that don't even have a house to worship in. But I praise God. In verse 11, it says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. You know, we may go through trials, but God said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I'm looking for that joy, Sister Joanna. There are times that one thing or the other tries to trouble us, but I'm going to keep my focus, like I said last week. I'm not going to let the devil make me look to the left or look to the right. My children can go on and do what they need to do, but I'm going to go on for the Lord. I'm not going to sit still. The devil can't make me hold back or stop. I'm too old in this. I've went too long, too far in my journey to stop now, and I praise him. My children will come in. He's assured me they will come in, and I give him glory for that, Sister Joanne. And I believe by faith your children will also. You had spoken about two young men, Brother Clint has, and you've got children also. And I praise God for the one that's saved. God surrounds us with angels, and he protects our household, and I thank him we can be safe with him. I only have a couple more scriptures, but in Deuteronomy 14:2, it says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." You know, I don't mind being called a peculiar people. In fact, I've preached many times, I'm the foolish things that confound the wise. You know, I praise God I'm part of the foolish because maybe he can use me. You know, many people say I'm a misfit, but I praise God if that's what I am. If I can get the word out and show people where I've been, God said that he would bring me out whenever I'm in trouble. And I praise him for that. One scripture I was telling my husband as we went to the store real fast before I got on the broadcast, one that I thank him for, I preached on it before. It's in Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I glorify God that he feels like I'm special enough to have a white stone with a name, a new name, and I thank him for that. Back to that story about that man that got that saw those two men beheaded, Sister Joanna. That mean general did come back to the cell. In the middle of the night, he said, "I'll let you go." He wasn't going to bend, and he wasn't going to bow. He said, "I'll not bend, and I'll not bow to Allah. My God, I will not deny." He said, "I'll not deny my Savior, Jesus Christ." I glorify God because there's people, true believers out there, Sister Green, that are part of God's elect. I thank him that he stood firm that day in that cell. I praise him tonight. I give it back to you, Sister Green.
Praise God, Sister Gladys. That touches my heart. And, you know, I often think, and, you know, we read things how people has literally been burnt at the stake for the gospel's sake. And Brother Yearwood had posted something on Facebook, a video. It's called, if you look on YouTube, it's called The New World Order. And it's two men that have really searched out why we need to stick with the King James Bible, how the new translations that they've tried to say that's the Bible say it's a easier understanding. And they name several different of the new written Bibles that they call Bibles, and how it's all, they take out words and they add in the New World Order. So we know that God said this is no private interpretation.
This is something,
things that are coming to pass is in the Word of God. And, you know, Jesus is coming back again someday after his church. And, you know, they just have it really messed up. But if you want to look at that on YouTube, it's called The New World Order. And it talks about, I wish I had the exact name of it right now, but I'll look that up here in a moment and give that to you. But just stick with the King James Bible, praise God. It's the infallible Word of God. He said not one jot, not one tittle would pass until heaven and earth, praise God, is passed. And all these things that's in the Bible are fulfilled until his coming. He said the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, you know, if the Lord has bidden you to get saved, and, you know, try him. He said, taste of me and see that I am good. Praise the Lord. And Jesus will just reveal himself to you. But, you know, just read your King James Bible. Praise the Lord. And people, many people down through the past have been killed because of the Word of God. And, you know, the devil hates it. His number is 666, and talking about the man of perdition, and the number, if you take the first six, it's the number of a man. And then the 66, and I truly believe, Sister Gladys, that he is after the word of God. He is after the devil is out to change the word of God, to get people all messed up. They've got this thing now that they want to implement into the schools. They're changing. I don't quite understand it myself, but it's called Common Core. And how they're saying that if the child can prove how they got the answer, it doesn't matter how they got the answer. As long as they can show or tell how they got the answer, it's correct, even if it's wrong. For instance, 2 plus 2 is 5. We know 2 plus 2 is 4. But if the child said 2 plus 2 is 5, and they can give some, it doesn't matter how they explain that they got the answer, the teacher's going to tell them that they got it right. And it's basically making a bunch of dummies, you know, so to speak. I'm not calling our children in America in the world. I'm not trying to call them dummies, because we know that the children, out of the mouth of babes, God said, forbid not the children, the little children, to come unto me, Jesus said. So Jesus is going to have a church that's making herself ready, that's not going to be, so to speak, a bunch of dummies. There's going to be people that know how to read the Word of God and get the interpretation of that. Praise the Lord. Because His Spirit, it was by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that it was written anyway. And then He said He would write it on the tables of our heart. Praise the Lord. Study to show ourselves approved. Praise God. I got smarter, Sister Gladys, when I started reading my Bible. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I didn't graduate with a real high GPA. I barely made it in graduating from high school. But as I read my King James Bible when I got saved, when I was 26 years old, when I tested for nursing school, they told me that I had a college IQ or whatever in reading. I did not have when I graduated from high school. I give God all the glory for that. Praise the Lord. But they're trying to form these little children into Common Core so that they wouldn't understand. And then they say that the New King James Bible is taking out the these and thous, and they understand it better in the New King James Bible. But then if you talk to those that study the New King James Bible, they tell you that they've studied Greek. Well, if a Greek is really hard language to understand and to especially read, and if they can't understand the King James Bible, and they went to an easier version, the New King James Bible, how are they studying Greek? You know what I'm trying to say? It doesn't make sense. It's kind of like an oxymoron. Oxymoron means two things that they're completely opposite. And then for an example, when someone says that good grief, you've heard people say good grief. It's slang, I know that. But good and grief does not go together. And I've always said that, when my children were growing up and we it says train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get older, they'd return, praise God, back to it. And you know, Sister Gladys, my son was here tonight while I'm talking about that, and he's going to be 22 here April 18th, and I see a big difference in him. He went through a wild stage in his life from about maybe, I'd say it started when he was 14. He got to be rebellious. And now that he's going to be 22, he's actually settling down, and he can actually see, he can actually sit down with us today. Just a little while ago, when he was here for Brother Green's birthday cake, we can actually talk to him about the Lord, and he actually responds back with us. It had been a long time since we had been able to communicate in that way. But praise be to God. You know, I reminded him of a dream that he had had when he was maybe 19 years old. He dreamed that he was witnessing that the world was in chaos, and there was a bunch of shooting going on, and military all around, and planes in the sky, and it looked like a warfare, I assumed, is what he was saying. and a man ran in from the street. And this is my son's dream. And I believe God speaks to us in dreams. You can read
Amen.
That in the Bible where God
sure
spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. He spoke to Pharaoh. And then godly men came and interpreted the dreams, praise the Lord. And they were warnings and things like that. Well, and Daniel had dreams, praise the Lord. And how the man ran in my son's dream, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And my son sat in behind a piece of furniture with the man because they were being, like I said, that the world was in chaos and there was a lot of firing and shooting and guns and all, and they hid. And when they were hiding, praise God, my son began to tell him the plan of salvation. And I reminded him of the dream because we were talking about dreams tonight, praise God. And he says, "Oh, yeah," and he got to tell. He told it in detail. More than what I just told you all tonight, what the dream was about. And it reminded him, and he knows that he has a work to do. Sister Gladys, I believe your son will be preaching, praise God. We just,
yes,
just when they were little, I know that when my husband and I, when the children were little, when Brother Green's two sons you talked about, and my children also, we have Rachel together, praise the Lord, and we have Amy and Jeffrey that Brother Green had helped me raise of two of my own, praise the Lord. You know, divorces happen, and if you're out there and you're a divorcee, don't you dare let people say that you cannot come to God. You can come to God. Things happen like that. Devil
Amen.
Gets in the midst of and he'll destroy homes. But I want to encourage you tonight out there, if you're a divorcee, if you went through a time in your life, and praise the Lord, I don't care if it's your second marriage, and maybe you're going through a divorce for your second time. You know, get with God. Praise the Lord. He will, it's not good for man to be alone. Let's put it that way. And if he had found a wife, he has found a good thing. Praise the Lord. But make sure that you're equally yoked. If you're a Christian, you look for a Christian spouse. Praise the Lord. And especially
Amen.
One that, if it's your denomination, and if it's Pentecostal, if it's Baptist, if you're born again, let's put it that way, if you're born again, you find your spouse also to be born again, and you will have a house divided will not stand, praise the Lord. So you make sure that you wait, if you're waiting on that right spouse to come to you, you definitely wait and make sure that it is God, because the devil will send the wrong one and your life again will be a mess. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I thank the Lord. I don't know how I got on all that, but I thank the Lord anyway for it. And I see Brother John. Looks like he's called in. Brother, is that you, Brother John, 770?
Yes, Sister Green, that's me.
I did want
Praise
to ask
God.
Brother John to be praying for my son, Sister Joanna. I felt that all day, that I'd like for him to lift my son up in prayer.
Amen.
Did you hear that, Brother John?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes,
okay, I've just felt led to get word to you to do that. He's just running as hard as he can from God, and they live within our home, but It's just not working out. We've tried our best to help him and get him on the right foot, but when they run as fast as they can, they just don't know. So we're kind of against the wall, but I know God's going to move in it.
Amen.
So I'd like to ask you to lift him up, please.
We definitely will. The thing is about establishing a house, once they've been out of the house, you've been talking about different things. And as Sister Green whispered, I'll give it back to you, Sister Green, before we start, whatever you want to do. But, the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. They'll not leave the training. This is the thing. This is the thing where it's hard to separate, because they've been instilled. And just like you said, I know, Sister Christ, you said you were not raising it in a Christian home, and you came to it later. The Bible speaks of in Daniel, and also speaks in other places where it talks about I think it's Daniel 12:9, I believe, but it talks about the word of God being sealed. Amen. And then it talks about the Lamb of God opening the seals, because the seals, amen. There was a time, in the time of Daniel, the word was, the scriptures were sealed where, and then it was given to them that said that read it. And to the learned, those that, you know, you're talking about those that had an understanding. And, you know, the scriptures teaches it that if this gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost, for they are blinded by the God of this world. He blinds those who receive it, even though the word of God is right before them, even though the true inspired word of God. And just like I said, when you take it away out there, the reason they can't understand this is because the carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. The carnal mind cannot. The reason they adapt it, the reason they add to their own scriptures or their own learning, because the scripture says they gave it to after it was sealed, and then he that was learned could not read it because it was sealed, and then they give it to the one that was unlearned, and they couldn't discern it because they were unlearned. And so these are the things that, but the Lamb of God is the only one that will, that is able to open it. So the Lamb of God is working. He said, we overcome them by the accuser in Revelation chapter 12 by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And the word of testimony, seeing the blood of the Lamb is the blood of the New Testament. When it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, let a man first examine himself. Amen. When you have communion, true communion is the blood of Christ, and true communion is the body of Christ. And so, and that's to be done as often as you do communion. And I'm not talking about wafers. I'm not talking about cookies. I'm not talking about wine or grape juice. This is man's thing that he has set up. But true communion with God is breaking the bread of life, breaking the true bread of life. I'm not talking about something that man has written and added to and inspired. Amen. The Bible teaches in Revelation. Amen. And unfortunately for our children, they are getting a new thing. But the Bible teaches there's no new thing under the sun. Amen. This, what is written is written. And so tonight, these words have been written, and we have to receive it with understanding. But the only way we can understand the Word of God is by the Spirit of God teaches us in the first Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither is it in the heart of man, the things that God has for them that prepare for him that love him. But, yea, the Spirit searches the deep things of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will soon. So what they're struggling, what your children are struggling in, and I have the same thing. I can speak with authority. I've been married before. My first wife is now dead, but we have children. My wife had children before. I had children with my first marriage, and we have children together, and we have grandchildren. So we have hers, mine, and ours, amen, and we've been married. If the Lord tarries until June 7th, me and my wife have been married 32 years. God divinely put together. We'll have to testify because we were prophesied to. I'm originally from Indiana, and my wife is from here. And God had sent her up there, and I was in ministry, and she was in ministry, and sent up to Indiana. And we actually met one night. I'll have to give a testimony because that's a testimony within itself. It's just how, you know, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, and now we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. We have the promise of the Word of God, and what's really happening is, and I will say this, you know, we have all these other religions and all these other beliefs, and what's really hurt our children is what they have seen. Christianity hasn't hurt our children. The true Word of God has not hurt our children. But those that are trying to add to or take away or believe this, so for their own life, there are those that would false teachers, false prophets coming in. That's what we're fighting against. The Bible says in one place, and I need to stop right here. I know I'm going off on a tangent here. Well, not a tangent, but you haven't given me permission to go off, so I want to stop right there before I go any farther and ask you if there's anything else you want me, or anything else you want to do before I go any farther.
Praise God. I was talking there, Brother John, about this video that Brother Yearwood posted on his Facebook, and I was trying to get the name of it. I didn't have it up at the time, but I have found it, and it's about the Bibles that are written today and how comparison with the King James Bible. And it, if you want to go to YouTube and see that, the full movie is what it is. It's pretty lengthy, but it's very worth watching. And if you go to YouTube.com, it's called The World Order Bible Versions, full movie by Alex Jones. Again, it's New World Order Bible Versions, full movie, Alex Jones, and that's at YouTube.com. Brother John, go ahead and just obey the Lord. Praise God.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's like a fire set my bones when I get to hear all of you speaking it. It is that fire and is that. And I'm really. In fact, it's sort of funny you missed. This week I was thinking, and one of the pastors, young men, had his first pastorship underneath our. Our privilege of being able to lead this young man, amen. And speaking about young men and young women, we have a lot of people, and they're not able. We have the same problem in our church. We had several people that were in their 20s and 30s, and amen, and they were not able to. The biggest problem, one of the biggest problems that I've seen. Is that they were not able to adhere to the Word of God. The Bible teaches in 2 Peter 2:1, says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who pridefully shall bring in damnable heresies. Here's what's happening. These people are mercenary teachers that are coming in, and because of who they are, people are believing what they're speaking. They're celebrities, they're people that, are before the young people, especially the children, and they look up to them. And so they begin to see, there was a statement, I'm not going to go into individuals, and I didn't watch the thing, but I got a call there the other night about some awards programs that people were talking about, and some celebrities were making, it doesn't really make a difference which God that you serve or worship, amen. We all come from the same one, but these are damnable heresies. These are teachings that will damn you. And so, there is only one Lord, there is only one God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And the Bible says it is written that Him, we shall not tempt the Lord our God, and Him only shall we serve. When the temptation of Christ in Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, that they come before Him, and that's what the enemy will do. He will come, and what is happening is we have so many people outside the influence. And another thing that we have is, when I was growing up, amen, you had foundational teaching, in the schools. You had foundational teachings, basically everywhere you were, and everyone was in agreement, whether you were at home, whether the parents, amen. But now you have confusion of faces. You have one teaching, this is okay now, this is okay now, and see, so you have these false prophets and false teachers that are bringing in, says,
amen.
And bring upon themselves with destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of two shall be evil spoken of. In other words, it's a speaker. The people are looking at a motivational speaker, or looking at a celebrity, or someone who can do this, or someone who can do that, and so they're coming up. So what used to be there, so. But now it's their position. It's not about them being Christian. It's not about them being Christ-like. It's whether, maybe there might be a sports figure. Maybe they're a movie star. So they're looking at that. So if they're saying these things, people are looking at that foundation. Well, this is a stumbling stone, because here's what's happening. People say, I can't read the Bible. All right, well, that's the reason they can't read the Bible is because the Lord Jesus Christ is not their cornerstone. He's their headstone. Anything that's underneath the headstone is dead. So he's either builds our lives upon, amen, and the reason our own children personally are struggling, amen, because you have the outside influence of a double-minded man should receive nothing from the Lord. We have people that are, the Scripture teaches in James chapter 1. He says, if a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And so we have to understand that our children are being influenced not by the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is no longer they left the cornerstone behind. What we have now is a generation of master builders who have rejected the chief cornerstone and disallowed him, amen, so there's no longer any precious stones. If what happens, it teaches us in Matthew chapter 7, I'm starting with verse 7:24. This is not what I was going to preach on tonight, but just like Sister Green said, I will preach what God has given, but this is the thing is that our children, even though we're training them, and even though we might not have gotten an opportunity as some of the young ones, now we've had the opportunity, every one of my children amen, even my stepchildren, amen, you know, I got them at a very young age, and amen, so they're training. In fact, my oldest, all of them were in ministry at one time or another. My oldest son is in ministry, and all of them have been ministry and have preached for me. The two or three of my older sons have preached for me. I did evangelistic work, and they went out on the road with me, and it was they would preach with me out on the road, and they are all well. My oldest son is in ministry. My next to my oldest son, which I call my sons, even though they're my stepsons, because I've raised them most of their life. From little boys that I don't know any different, don't know any separation, amen. And so they call me. There is, in our family, even though it's yours, mine, and ours, there is no separation. It's all his. And so my three youngest sons, we had six sons altogether. One has died. He was died in a car accident, a young man. But all my sons were ministers, amen, and have ministered now. Are they all ministers right now? Well, they're still all ministers, but they're not all ministering right now. They have been. There's a situation. That's why you have to gird yourself up with the true word of God. That's why you have to, you know, we're taught to put on the whole armor of God. These are things that, and young people, amen, not only young people. In fact, I was thinking about this week, and it's funny you should bring this out. We were, this pastor has two or three sons, and actually, I won't really go into names, but his oldest son, amen, he had one daughter, and actually he's been married before. His wife's been married before, and they're still pastoring, right now. They have a ministry that goes from house to house, amen. This pastor's son, amen, has a certain name, and I was just thinking, we were praying for him. They told us to pray for him. They met my one son, amen, and they were with us in ministry. And I thought of you, such a glad, because you said you were a misfit. Back in 2006, amen, we helped them start a church, amen, in another city not too far from here. And the name of the ministry was Misfits Outreach. And stood for it. It's actually a church. We had it for 3 years. We were together. We were co-pastors with him. And what it stood for from 2006 to August of 2009, and actually the Lord had moved upon the pastor's wife, amen, and to call it ministry. And it came from Misfit Island. And what it stood for, the initial stood for, making imperfect souls fit in together spiritually. And so there for about 3 years, we were part of Misfits International Outreach Ministry. And everyone, every time we told them we were misfits, amen, they said, well, what does that mean? You know, they look at us sort of, so we didn't tell them that we're all imperfect. And what it is, it's a ministry that helps imperfect souls fit in together spiritually. Building in the house, amen. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the unity of the saints, for the perfecting, amen, of the saints. And so that's why we spoke. But, you know, we're talking about coming in, his son's name is Ryan. And actually, I was thinking about, and I had actually asked people yesterday, there's 9 or 10 Ryans that I know right now that were one time in ministry. They're young men, and they're all out of the realm of ministry right now. They were all ministers. They've fallen away, amen, because the Bible says there's a great falling away because sin abounds. You know, my children are not where, and they were taught, they were trained up, they lived in the midst of it, so this was not something that they were good with. Now, I have the promise that they will all come back, and I'm not saying that they're, you know, but I know whether or not, but there's a lot of outside influences. I preached a message one time about attractions, distractions, and fractions, amen, and so what it is, you know, they don't have it in school. They can't do it in school unless there's other false religions. If you're a part of other false religion, you bring it out in the school, that's okay. You bring the true religion, you bring the true word of God, amen, and then you're in trouble, amen, because what it does is a stumbling block. These people cannot hear. Scripture said, we'll not have this man rule over us. So as long as it's a shade of gray, as long as it's, amen, intolerable for their lifestyle that they live, amen, and even though they don't live lawfully under the word of God, it's just like the scriptures there when it talks about there was a there was a man, and he, he lent out to the husbandmen. Amen. And as he lent out to the husbandmen, he sent the prophets, and amen, or his messengers. And they stoned every one of them or killed them and some, and then finally sent the hair. Well, we know as believers the hair was the Lord Jesus Christ, and they crucified him. So they come, he said, now they'll have reverence, now they'll have respect. And said, well, let's kill the heir so that we can receive the inheritance. And that's actually what it is. As long as they can kill the heir, they're instructed. We have false teachers. We have, the Bible teaches us that Satan can manifest himself as an angel of light. So if we don't know, we have concern that, amen. And so what it is, there's to the believers, the Bible says that they will rise out of obscurity in the book of Isaiah, amen, and their darkness will be as the noonday. So that's the true light. Jesus Christ was speaking about, he was that true light, and John the Baptist, amen, was the messenger or the witness of that true light. He had to declare, amen, because those that didn't know any better would have thought that John was the true light. Those that didn't know any better, amen, didn't discern. And we have to learn. And you just didn't get this by, amen. The Bible says you have to study to show yourself approved. In 2 Timothy, I think it is, 2:15, amen, it says, study thyself to be approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. So a workman that needs to not be ashamed. You have to be a workman in the word of God. It's not just something that you come in there and just sit there. And no one that I know, you had an example very a few years back about a pastor got up and proclaimed that he had declared and studied the word 50 years, and then he proclaimed out of that same mouth. Amen. You know, the Bible teaches us in James chapter 3, it is, it talks about the tongue. Amen. And it talks about the tongue. He says that out of this fountain shall not come forth bitter and sweet at the same time. Amen. He said these things ought not to be. And so the scriptures teach us, amen, we bless God with the tongue, amen, and then we curse man, which is made after the similitude of man. And so the very image, we have to understand there's a warfare going on, and even in the elect, yeah. Amen. And is that what we're speaking on tonight? I really wasn't sure what we were speaking on tonight. Are we speaking on the elect tonight?
I was answering your question.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's all good. Go by the leading, brother. It's all really good.
Yeah. Well, I know that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So there's as many as believe on his name in John chapter 1. So this is the thing is, but these are young people that have fallen away. And because they've fallen away, what we do is we adapt. And in fact, that actually might come along with their we've adapted the new words of word, supposedly, and I do some parentheses, supposedly word of God. This is the word of God that's fired. But see, if there's no new thing under the sun, once what was written was written, why are we having all these other things adapting and saying, well, this is because here's what's happening, and here's the reason why our young people are confused. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. Now, those of us that are on this broadcast, we are in unity. The Bible says, how beautiful is it that brethren dwell in unity? We are in agreement. The Bible says in, I believe it's Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? All of us on this broadcast believe that the King James Version is the true anointed word of God. The reason I believe it is not just because someone told me, I've lived it. I've experienced it. It can't come any different. There's no other things there. So it's just like basically I'm too late. I have experienced it. This can't be coincidence. This can't be the things that we've gleaned from this word and I've experienced and I've lived. This is not happenstance. This is not, even though the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, time and chance happen to all. But we have to understand that I've seen this word of God. This is truth. Amen. So I don't need any other truth. This is the drink that, you know, I don't need to have some other kind of drink or some off-brand or because he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. I've come unto him. And this is him. This is Christ. This is the living water. When I come here, I don't want to go drink anyplace else. I'm just like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. When I come to this word, I don't have to go to any other well. I don't go to Jacob's well. I don't go to this man. And even though these men are great, amen, they are men of God that are great, amen, but Jesus declared unto the woman of the well in John chapter 4. It says, it's not that you worship in Jezreel. See, a lot of people get wrapped up in where they're worshiping. Well, I worship over here. You know, they're part of the crowd. They're part of that. Well, we got 5,000 people going over here, and I go to that church. So it's not about Jesus. It's going about being a part of the crowd and being around a lot of. Well, out of the all things, amen. You know, what stood out in that crowd was not the crowd, not those that had their hands on Jesus, not those that wanted to be a part of the social circle, but there was one woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, amen, hallelujah, and she come out and touched Jesus. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Amen. And Peter said, "Well, Lord, you see the crowd. You know, the crowd's been with us and been walking with us. Yeah, but there was one woman, amen, that touched the hem of the priest, the high priest, amen. He said he'd been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And here, the life blood was going out of this woman. She had a faith, amen. And, you know, the Bible says, amen, and what I was going to speak out of was 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it says, here Paul wrote to Timothy, amen, a young man that was, Timothy had no, amen, Paul had never got married, but Timothy was Paul's son in the faith, amen, and he come, and here was a young man that learned, and here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and so he was talking, and Paul, the Apostle Paul was in prison. And so everyone had left him. His friends in Asia had left him because he was in prison. They were ashamed of him being a POW or a prisoner of a spiritual war. Amen? And so, and how this woman, she had touched the hem of the God. He said, "Who touched me?" He said, "Amen." And so as she touched him, here was a woman that couldn't be any better. Here was a woman for 12 years. Here was a woman who spent all that she had. There are those of you that will spend all your life with everything that you have. I'm speaking to you perfectly right now. There are those of you that are losing your life one day at a time because you are, there's life in the blood, and the life's blood is coming out of you. You need a blood transfusion, and the blood is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Passover Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how you're going to overcome it. When you apply it to the door of your life, Jesus Christ in John chapter 10 is the door to the sheepfold. You have to understand tonight, you can't come any other way. There's no other God. There's no other prophet. There's no other things. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Him and him only shalt thou serve. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John chapter 14, verse 6. When he come there, this woman knew, amen, she had a faith, and she said, "But if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And so she came to the wholeness of her life, amen, knowing that there wasn't any other thing, but when she touched him, he said, "Who touched me?" He said, "Though I felt a virtue come from me," amen. When a virtue comes, the word virtue there, and you're talking about, Sister Green was talking about studying the Greek. I've studied the Greek, I've studied the Hebrew, and all these things, and I understand, amen. But, you know, I'm not going to change the Word of God because, amen, hallelujah, that I've studied these different languages, because the fact is, amen, there is only one language, amen, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen. We need to find that. But the word virtue, amen, there in the New Testament is the same word for power that's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Power and virtue is dunamis. It's that miraculous power left him and went into her and made her whole. Why? Because he's the great physician. She touched the hem of the garment of the great physician. Amen. And as she touched the hem of the, she made a doctor's visit. Amen. As he was coming by, there's a lot of people that get, see a lot of doctors. She touched the great physician. Tonight, there's a difference between going and seeing the doctor and the physician is in. You have to understand, here's a physician that we serve tonight. He said, "There'll be a day that they'll say to you, 'Physician, heal thyself.'" When the physician was hanging on the cross at Calvary at Golgotha in the way of pain, you have to understand, he come down the Via Dolorosa, amen. The Via Dolorosa is the way of pain, amen. He came carrying our cross. He came carrying our pain. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, he was wounded for our transgression. Every wound that they saw on the Lord Jesus Christ was our wounds. Every bruise, amen, was our transgression, our rebellion. Jesus Christ looked the way he did at the cross of Calvary because that's what that was our punishment for sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Life took on sin and death wrapped around about him tonight. That's the reason why. There's too many people that are lukewarm tonight. There are too many that have part of the gospel and they think they're enough. The Bible says in, amen, in James chapter 1, verse 22, I believe it is, "Be ye not only hearers of the word, but be ye doers only." Also, deceiving not your own self. We don't have to worry about the deceiver of the world because people are hearing the true word of God in some places, but they're not doing the word of God. If they're not doing the word of God, the hearing of the word of God is only doing one thing. It might bring you to a faith, but faith without works, amen, doing is dead, being alone. It's like the body without Christ. Many people, amen, have had a faith because they've heard the word of God preached, but that's all they've done. Day after day, week after week, they've heard the word of God. They've said under the true word of God, but even though they've come to the truth or heard the truth, they haven't come to it. Amen. Hallelujah. You consider the truth all the way. You consider their teachings, amen. You consider their teachings that 2 by 2, amen, does make 4. But there's one thing, you might come after it, because if you don't do the works, if you don't work it out, your own salvation with fear and trembling, you have to understand, amen, too many people, amen, we've come to a society, they want to be a sluggard. The Bible says a sluggard desires and hath nothing. Amen. Too many people, amen, have become sorrowful. The Bible says that the sorrowful man, he come and he saw that it was cold. Amen. Amen. And so, guess what? If you don't plow in the cold tonight, amen, you'll go to beg and harvest, amen, because there's nothing, there's no seed in the ground, there's no crops in the ground, there's nothing. So you can have the faith to move a mountain, but if you don't have the works, amen, the hearing of that word of God, amen, you can have great faith, but without love, amen, the Bible says loving in deed and the truth. It's not only to say that you love him, but it's showing that you love him. There's another thing he said, if a man keep my commandments, amen, amen, I will keep him, amen. He shows that he loved me. He says, by this shall all men know that you love me, that you love one another, amen. So there's a love, amen. But there's not love in the world. There's not agape love in the world, amen. We do a lot of things with the mouth. The Bible says, out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaketh, amen. And so a lot of people, amen, have a filet of love, have a fleshly love, but they don't have the love of God. Jesus, or the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, he said, so I give my body to be sacrificed and to be burned. You know, a lot of people get up there and wrapped up. Also, without the works, without the faith, they have the works. We're not saved by works, lest any man should boast tonight. There's a gift of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, for we are saved by grace through faith, which is a gift of God. It's not a gift of ourselves. We don't receive this. We didn't receive this gift ourselves. It's a gift that brings us to eternal life. But the Bible says, amen, so here was Paul all alone. See, a lot of people don't want to be alone. But you know what? To be alone with God, you know, I'm thinking about Mary and Martha. I'm not rambling here, but I want to try to get some of this in. But the Bible says Mary and Martha, these were sisters. Martha was a server. She had already served. And, you know, she was upset, amen, at the time. She asked the Lord to have her sister Mary. But her sister Mary... first, before she could get up and serve the tables, amen, amen, she had to sit at the feet of Jesus. And here's what's happening, church, before you can ever go out and minister, there are those that would come in there and people instill within our children, within our young people, oh, but you got to minister, you got to minister, you got to minister. The Bible says, wait on your ministry. In other words, they that wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40:31. Now, that doesn't mean to sit down at the bus stop of life and wait on the Lord and wait for him to come by. That means to serve him. And while you're serving him, the Bible says, you shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not go weary. That's Isaiah 40:31. You shall walk and not faint. So as we're doing here, we're serving the Lord. But here's the thing. You got to have fully sit at the feet of Jesus every time, every hour, before you can get up and serve tables like Martha did. There's a time where you have to sit in the instructor. You have to be yoked to him, constantly continue to know what to minister, amen. So this just come, that you know, just come in, all you need this and all you need is that. So, but see, we're sending people out there and they're not ready. We're sending people out there. Now, I'm not saying, but you see, they have to learn for themselves. But as we instill within them, our children have to learn for themselves. They do have to work out, amen. But the teacher is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Rabboni. He is your rabbi. He is your master. Amen. Hallelujah. But he is the teacher. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John, he said that the anointing, in other words, the anointing, the same word that used for anointing, same word for Christ, Christos, okay? That's what it is in Greek. It means the anointing or the anointed one. Amen. And so there's an anointing, and we know that the anointing destroys the yoke in Isaiah 10:27. So when the anointing comes on, it destroys the yoke amen, because the Assyrians had come, they'd put a yoke around, around Israel and those. So, but when the anointing comes, amen, we take on the yoke of Christ, amen, and the anointing, amen, of sin, the anointing or the yoke of this body, which is flesh, amen, that's where the separation is. It says, come ye out and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. You have to understand that we are a body, this body, whether you're a believer or tonight, everyone. I don't care what you believe or what you believe in tonight. Everybody that's come upon this earth is the temple of God, according to God's word. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God in 1 Corinthians 6:17, I believe it is. You know, I might not be giving you the right, most of them are going to be the right numbers and the right scriptures and verses. You get in there, it's not exactly that verse in scripture. It might be because you have to understand, I believe it's in John 14:25, that amen, that that the Spirit will bring back remembrance what I said unto you. Amen. And so we do that by the Scripture. The Holy Ghost will bring back what he has said to me. You have to understand, God has spoken, you know, not only to me, but all those, amen, down through the years. So the reason that I can draw these Scriptures out, I don't draw them out anyhow. I'm just a vessel. But it's the Spirit of the Lord that's within me that's drawing these Scriptures out and can speak them into you. I might not get exactly the right, I'm going to be in the neighborhood anyhow if I'm not right on with the verse and chapter, amen. But anyhow, going back to this, that we need to know tonight that, amen, we have people pulling and tugging and everything else like that. And so they're pulling you off that rock. They're pulling you out. You know, you have to understand that when they sent the spies into the land, spy out the land of promise. They sent 12 spies in. 12 spies come back. Yeah, it is the land flowing, but there's giants in the land. Okay? But God already told him, he said, go out and spy the land, you know, and you're going to possess it and everything. You have to understand tonight, amen, as God instructed there, and only Joshua and Caleb brought back true reports. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, by faith the elders received a good report. This is God's report. This is the arm of the Lord. He says in Isaiah, talks about, I think it's 59, says, who shall believe our prayer? To whom shall the arm of the Lord be revealed? He said with his own arm he brought salvation. Jesus Christ is the right arm of God the Father. He is, and he's sitting there now, right now, interceding for each and every one of us. We have to go. But see, we have to come to the throne room of God. We have to come to the feet of Jesus. And too many times, not only young people, older people, those that they're not willing to go. In fact, they're just like, you know, just like the children. Moses, you go talk to God, and you come back and bring the message. So that's what they want to do. People want to go and have somebody else tell them what to do rather than go to God themselves. The Bible says that we may boldly come to the throne of grace. I have an opportunity. Here's a God. You have to understand tonight how my God works. You know, John the Baptist, and he was greatest among men, according to the Scriptures, amen. He said, what came ye out to see, a reed shaking in the wind? You know, our God will not even break off a bruised reed. When other people come, oh, this is a bruised reed, we might as well break it off. We might as well break it. He won't even, or smoking flax. He sees something. He sees potential there. But even though there's potential there, you have to get the principles tonight, church. There's many potential in our young people and in our older people that have received the Word of God or heard the Word of God, but they're not doers of the Word of God. That's the problem. They come in and there's nothing in there. But a lot of people, especially younger people, amen, they fully expect their parents to do everything. Amen. And vice versa. There are times there are parents that have grown up and they're still as far as their maturity are still children, amen. We're all children, don't get me wrong. We're all children. No matter how old we get, we're all children, amen. But we have to understand, amen, that in our understanding or in malice, we are to be children. That's why he said you must become as a little child, amen, to enter the kingdom of God, in our humility and all these things. But I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures. I'm going to give back to you, but because I won't give everything that. But he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, so he's talking to Timothy. Everyone has left him except Onesiphorus. He come in there, and he wasn't ashamed of Paul's chain. He says, thou therefore, my son, he's talking to Timothy, his son in the faith, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. All right, only faithful men and women like you that are on broadcast can teach others. Because you have committed your way. The Bible says in Proverbs, commit thy ways in the Lord, acknowledge him in all thy ways, he'll bring it to pass. But see, you have a commitment. You come to a place of committing your life. You come to a place, you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ in all your ways. whether on your job, in your life, to your children. And so, but see, a lot of people are not willing, amen. You know, we've made marriage a shamble, and just like Sister Green brought, he that finds a good, findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. You know, I found a good thing for 32 years. She is my wife. She is a good thing. She is, you know, I call her that, but I said, that's my good thing sometimes, and, amen. So this is a good thing. But we make marriage, what is true marriage, is shambles, amen. And, you know, we cannot, amen. Hallelujah. Marriage is only one way, church. Marriage is only one way, according to the word of God, amen. He made both one male and one female, amen. People weren't even at, amen. The kings were not even at, according to Deuteronomy. He said, had not multiplied. So you're not to have multiple wives, amen. And I know some of the things, amen, and men had wives to the scripture, excuse me, to themselves and kings and leaders and everything else like this. But tonight, amen, we are to have one wife and one husband, amen, hallelujah. And so that's the only way it is to be. It's not to be any other way, amen. But hallelujah, we find, amen, that it talks about that, you know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, well, let me go on here because he says, there thou, therefore, in verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's a strategist, the word soldier there. In other words, he that camps out or encamps round about, he's in a camper. In fact, amen, he's camping on the outer beings. And what he's doing is he's a warrior. And the only thing he has, you know, the Bible teaches us is the word of God. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the word of God, only the word of God, is profitable for doctrine, for your teaching, for reproof. In other words, reproving you, for correction, okay? Despite not the chastising of the Lord. Amen. That's the only way that you know that you're his son or daughter. But in the case of when it says sons, it means whether male or female. It doesn't make a difference. For instruction in righteousness. All word of God is for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished into all good works. So here's a soldier. Here's a strategy that's on the outer rim. All he's got is the word of God. Church tonight, all you have is the word of God. That will thoroughly furnish your house, because you are the house of God. It said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I charge thee, therefore. So now that the scripture, now that you have a house thoroughly furnished by the word of God, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season. So we're instructed to preach the word, speak his word, logos. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, which is the fruit of the Spirit, and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What will they do? Well, what did he say? Timothy, endure the hardness. In other words, suffer the hardships of the soldier that's on the outer realm, camping out, a warrior, and all you have is the word of God. So now that they don't want to endure the sound doctrine. They don't want to put on the word of God. So here's what they do. But after their own lust, where does wars come from? James chapter 4. From which come the wars and fighting, even from our own lust? So they have a desire. Well, you know, I want to do this. I'll tell you what. Let's make the word of God to conform to us rather than us conform. You know, we'll make the word of God, and someone will write it and say it comes from God. Well, it might come from a God, but not the God. And so what it is, this is the word of man. Amen. Inspired to fit their life form, and they heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. Okay, here's what's happened. People want to have knowledge, so what do? They gather to themselves by their own lust teachers full of knowledge. So they'll get someone in agreement with them to have itching ears. All they want to do is have their ears scratched. Okay, they got itching ears for knowledge. You got an itch for knowledge. And, well, I can't live this way, so I'm going to get it. Oh, you believe that way? Okay, well, here. Oh, I like it. It's like a dog, you know, when you scratch my lips. That's exactly what's happening. Amen. And you know what unbelievers are called? They're called dogs. And so tonight, amen, you don't need to be a dog. You need to be a believer tonight, amen. And some of you, amen, it's time to let your back leg quit kicking and having your ears itch, amen.
by this unsound doctrine. Amen. Tonight, I don't care about my ears being scratched by the world. I want to have a hearing. Hallelujah. I want to have a hearing of the Word of God, and I want to have a doing of the Word of God. Hallelujah. For they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. You know, this is the thing that's going on. He said, there thou war, endure the hardness of the good soldier of the Lord. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's a strategist there. In other words, that's a one who will enlist in the army. Amen. He will gather. Amen. He's a soul winner. Timothy, he said, I've chosen you to be a strategist. I've chosen you to be an enlister. I've been chosen you to be a commander. I've chose you to be, amen, someone to sign them up because you've been a soldier. You've been out there. You've been out there on out on the outer grounds. Amen. And the Bible says, I won't go into the book, but the Bible says in, I don't know if I gave you 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, verse 11 says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after. Here's the thing we're going to follow after, righteousness. There's only one righteousness. Our righteousness are filthy rags, the righteousness of the Father. Godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, these are things, amen? Not only are things we're going to follow after, these are things that are part of the gifts of the Spirit, or excuse me, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Fight the good fight of faith. That's what a soldier of the Lord does, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou hast also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, we're depressed toward the mark of the high prize of the calling of Christ Jesus. You know, a few weeks ago in this broadcast, we talked about the armor of God and putting on, that's what we wrestle against, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, rulers of darkness, amen. These are the things we're fighting against. Our young people are not ready. Our young people are not ready. Why? Because they don't have on the armor of God. I'm going to get back to you, Sister Diane, because, you know, I've got so many scriptures there. But tonight, fight the good fight of faith. Is there the hardness of a good soldier of the Lord? What do you need? Only the Word of God. Only Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And come. It's time for enlisting. It's time for the gathering. And we don't fight against other religions. I don't have time. I don't have time to fight against other religions. I've got to fight against principalities. I don't fight against flesh and blood tonight. I'm not against you. I'm your friend. I love you. Even your enemy. I'm instructed in according to the gospel to even love my enemy. If my enemy thirsts, I'm going to give him drink. If my enemy's hungry, I'm going to do everything for him. In the gospel that I serve tonight, there's no difference between the enemy and a friend or your loved ones. They're all treated the same because he's without partiality. Tonight, are you a part of the elect of God? Amen. There's a struggle. There's a warfare. He said, no man who warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. We don't have time for the affairs of this life because our affections are set on things above there. He's made us the head, not the tail tonight. Go ahead, Sister Green. I'll go on with it.
Praise God. It's been good. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn in some more prayer requests here. They've been coming in pretty urgent. Pray for a family. I don't know if I can say who they are, so I just will leave that alone, but they need prayer. They've lost a 22-year-old. She just passed away, and they're going to do an autopsy to see why. And also, another private message came to me. I'm not going to say what the name is, but this person is asking for prayer that the daughter has not overdosed. So there's another urgent prayer request. And we're going to pray over those here in just a moment after I give out more of these requests. Sister Tanya Green says, pray for a young man named Luke. He needs a miracle, as well as a man named Raymond. Also, Sister Kim Adams, she says, yes, pray for her nephew and her mother. God knows all about it. Sister Christine Marie, she says, her friend's 2-year-old son and unspoken ones, please. She's talking about other unspoken requests. Also, Sister Alyssa Rutter says that she's sick. Her husband keeps getting sick. Her parents to be less stressed out. Other unspoken requests. Sister Bonnie Zorn says, yes, please pray that her daughter, Danette, and her children in Tampa need a touch. God knows all about it. Also, her son John and his boys, God knows all about them too. And she said, thank you for it in advance. Sister Lori Perdue says, remember her cousin Larry needs prayers, all the prayers he can get. Praise the Lord. Luanda Turner says, yes, please pray for her mother and also pray for her children. So these are some urgent prayer requests that come in. Remember Brother Tim Hall. Remember Sister Gladys' request. And Brother John, did you have any prayer requests?
Let's do remember these, not only the young people, but even the older, more mature people who have walked away. And, you know, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to man, but then there are a lot of ways that they have. I'm really concerned. And, you know, you have a lot of people, patted people on the back and say, that's okay, you can do this. And this is, but what was sin 1,000 years ago or yesterday still sin today.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of drugs going around trying to take out a lot of young people. And they're, I mean, from teenagers all the way into their 20s, and I guess some 30s too. But pray, my goodness, pray. The devil is really trying to send the suicide spirit out there and getting them hooked on drugs. And tonight's broadcast has really been wonderful. It's been different, but it's been really uplifting, I tell you. If you're out there and you think your life has been a mess with divorces and remarrying and like Pastor John said, his, hers, and ours, and that's what we've had in our family. But we thank God that, you know, whether stepchildren, not stepchildren, stepmom, stepdad, however, praise God, biological and children or however, when God puts you in a home to be raised under the Lord, and, you know, thank God for that. Thank God for your parents in the Lord. He said to obey your parents in the Lord. So your parent may not be your biological parent, but they may be your biological parent. But if they're godly, you better obey them. Praise the Lord. We want to go to prayer right now with all these requests and pray for the comfort of the family that lost their 22-year-old daughter. And again, they're looking for the reason. I don't think they think there's anything that she had done. But from what I understood in the message, that she had lost a lot of blood and they don't know why. So let's pray. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask God that you go to these family members, Lord, and comfort, Lord. Help these people, dear God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help God this daughter that may have overdosed, Lord. You know who she is. God, help her, Lord. If she don't know you for sure, God, deal with her heart, Lord. You see this mother, her broken heart, Lord, over her daughter. In the name of Jesus, God, we ask that you reach the children out there, those young men and women that are being deceived by this drug demon, this alcohol demon. Lord, we bind and rebuke it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for all your mercy. Lord, I ask you to touch, Lord, Brother Tim Hall and Sister Frieda Hall, Lord. Send that financial blessing, miracle, Lord. Touch Brother Tim Hall's body, Lord. Heal him from this pneumonia he has in this congestive heart failure. Lord, touch Brother Yearwood, dear God. Heal his body, Lord. Help him, Lord Jesus. Help him keep hydrated, Lord. In the name of Jesus, strengthen Brother Yearwood's body, dear God. In the name of Jesus, bless their broadcast, dear God. And reach people out there that don't go to church and that might click in today or Brother Yearwood's broadcast. They might. Lord, your anointing would go forth, dear Lord, and reach and prick the heart, dear God, of them that are in their lives in a mess, dear Lord, and maybe they don't feel like they fit in at church. God, we ask to deal with them and come from humble them, Lord, and let them see that they need you, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, your way, Lord. All these requests, Lord, that's been coming in tonight, Lord, we ask that you touch each and every spoken and unspoken, Lord. You see the need of your people, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, save the lost, Lord. Everyone represented on these prayer requests, dear God, save their children, save their family members, Lord, heal their bodies, dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you, Lord, touch Brother John, Lord, children, Lord, and Lord, help them, the family, help the congregation, dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, and Sister Samples, dear Lord, and Samples, dear God, add to their ministry souls, dear Lord. For this here work that they do for you, dear Lord God, we praise you, Lord, for it. We give you all the glory, all the praise, Lord, Sister Gladys' children, dear God. We're asking, Lord, that you deal with them, Lord, and help Sister Gladys to be able to just completely turn them over to you, Lord. Restore her joy, dear God, and help her not worry. Lord God, show her, Lord, that you've got this all, Lord. You've got her children. Lord Jesus, and that you're going to draw them back, dear God, in the fold, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch Brother Wayne Gifford's church, Lord, the congregation, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we praise you. We thank you, dear Lord. Touch this broadcast tonight, Lord. Reach them that are lost. In the name of Jesus, you be all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. We're going to come to you here with this here song. I tell you, this has really been a good broadcast. And we played this last week. We felt led to play it again. And the name of it is I Will Face No One's Record But My Own. And it's by Molly O'Day. So it looks like it might have been I don't know anything about her, but this song really blesses us.
When I say no man, judgment morning. I'll face nobody's record but my own. I'll face
God. So no further hesitation here. We're going to turn this over to the birthday man, praise God, Brother Evangelist Clint Green. Hallelujah. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. Praise God. It's good to be with you, and I thank God for the preaching already. It's been really good. There's been a lot of word already preached tonight, and we're talking about, well, we kind of just being led by the Spirit tonight, but we're on the subject again tonight on the elect of God. And, you know, I want to read some scripture here. It says here in Romans chapter 11 and verse 29, it says, "For the gifts and calling of God, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." So we see tonight that you know, there's different callings. The Bible tells us there's different callings in the Word of God, and it mentions being called and being chosen. And, you know, over in Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us in verse 33, and we preached a little bit on this last week, it says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we see tonight, it don't matter tonight who might be against you. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of struggle you're facing. I tell you, if you'll hang on to God, you don't have to go back out in the world, and you don't have to be separated from Christ. Now, I'll tell you, they might point their fingers at you, you know, and there may be things said about you. But, you know, just hold on to God. You know, when Jesus was walking here on earth, he came down here and lived among men, was born laid in the manger, born in that stall there in that little place in Bethlehem. And he growed up there, you know, and moved around to different places because the enemy was after him, trying to take his life. But I want to tell you something tonight. What shall separate you from the love of Christ? You know, you're called. The Bible says that we are the elect of God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies them. You know, I had a lot of things against me when I first got saved. I had a whole list of sins that I had committed, and I had a record, you know, in heaven, probably, no doubt. But, you know, the old account was settled because I came to the cross and came to the foot of that cross, and I felt the call of God upon my life. I felt that God was calling me to salvation. You know, that's the first call, is the call of salvation. And, you know, if you've never been saved and you don't know what we're talking about tonight, you know, John the Baptist came there by the river and began to preach that there comes one after him mightier than he. You know, they thought John was the Christ, and they sent people out to ask him, "Art thou the Christ?" And he said, "No, I'm just the voice of one that's crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight." In other words, I get your house in order, because there's one coming down the road. There's one after me, mightier than I. I'm not able to loose his shoes from his feet. I'm not able to stoop down and unlace the latchets of his shoes. I'm just a voice of crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And I want to tell you tonight, the call of God is going out tonight. He wants you to find salvation. He wants you to come into this great plan of redemption, because the price has been paid and the debt that was owed has been nailed to an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago on a hill called Golgotha. There they laid him down on that cross, and they nailed his hands and his feet. They had planted a crown of thorns and they put on his head, and they wrote that accusation over him. This is the King of the Jews. Praise God. And I want you to know something. He's my king today. He's not just the king of the natural Jew there in Jerusalem, but he is my king today. And I'm in a kingdom because I've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And I'll tell you, Christ is king over that kingdom. And I know one day he'll be king here on earth. I know that he'll come back and reign in a natural kingdom, praise God. It might be supernatural. I ain't sure about how it's going to all come to pass. But I know that the Bible said that he's going to reign for 1,000 years. And he has made us kings and priests unto God. And praise God. So what shall separate you tonight? You don't have to be separated, because Jesus went to that cross. And you can be the elect of God. You can be in this great calling of God. He has called him. He stretched out his arms and called him. He stretched out himself on that cross, and he was calling souls to salvation, because he was the Lamb of God that the Bible talked about. There needed to be a sacrifice, and there was none. No sacrifice acceptable except the Lamb of God. The Bible tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and he had given it in the book of Leviticus. He said, I have given you it upon the altar, praise God, to make an atonement for your sins. And it was the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sins. It could not be anything else. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, the Apostle Paul said. But, there's people still today going and buying lambs and buying different sacrifices in some countries. And they're having a big, some kind of a day where they get together and they sacrifice those animals. And that's not going to get you out of trouble, my friend. That's not going to pay the price of your sin. That animal dying for your sin will never pay. It'll never be good enough payment to take away your sins. But Jesus died on that cross that day there on Golgotha's hill there, just outside of the city of Jerusalem. He died on that cross and gave his life a ransom for all. And whosoever tonight will, the Bible said, whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. I'll tell you, the remedy for sin tonight is Jesus. The remedy for sin and get sin out of your life is coming to the foot of the cross. Well, you say he died 2,000 years ago. What good would that do me today? Because I'll tell you, today the blood has never lost its power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Hebrews 13:8, the Bible tells us we don't need to be carried about by strange doctrines and things that can never save from sin. But I tell you, we need to go to the one that died for our sins, the one that paid the price at Calvary. I'll tell you, whosoever will can come tonight. If you can hear the call of God, you can be saved. And I'll tell you, the call is going out. He told him before he went away, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He told him to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized, he said, shall be saved. And I'll tell you what he began to do. He began to confirm the word. The Bible said there in Mark chapter 16 that he began to confirm the word with signs following him. Now I want to read that to you because don't take my word for it, my friend. But take the words in the pages of the Holy Bible, the King James Version Bible. It says in the 16th chapter and the 15th verse, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And I want to jump over here to the 19th and the 20th verse. It says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And I'll tell you, he's still confirming the word with signs following today. He said there'd be signs follow them that believe. And he said there in the 17th verse, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? You see, tonight Amen. There's many devils out there in the world today. There's not just one devil, but here the Bible says devils, plural. And I'll tell you, there's many people that's afflicted with devils. And he said, in my name shall they cast out devils. You know, when he sent them out two by two, he called them, and he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. And I'll tell you what, tonight the ministry, the servants of God and the handmaidens of God have been called tonight. And he said these signs shall follow them that believe. He didn't say some great preacher somewhere. He didn't say just a man over here and a man over there. No, he didn't say that. But he said these signs shall follow them that believe. And that's taking in a whole lot of people, my friend. If you'll live right, and you'll walk and talk the talk and walk the walk, and you'll live holy and righteous and godly in this present life, and you'll love your neighbor as yourself, and lay aside all malice and all guile and the things that easily beset us, and run the race with patience, then I'll tell you, my friend, I believe you'll see miracles down the road. He said, if you abide in me, I'm talking about the call of God, now, he's called us to abide in him. He's not called us to jump in and stay a little while and get out and do our thing. He's called us to abide in him. If we abide in him and his words abide in us, the Bible said, we could ask what we will. John chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine. And are you connected tonight to the vine? If you don't stay connected, you'll be lost, my friend. I'll tell you, they say eternal life can never be lost, but I want to tell you, my friend, it's eternal life, but it's only in Jesus. And if you don't stay connected to that vine, you'll be lost, my friend. It's eternal life, but it's in Jesus only. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's not 100 ways or 20 ways. There's one way to heaven. Why did Jesus die on the cross? I want to know, my friend, tonight, why did Jesus die on the cross? If you can get up and climb up and get yourself in some other way, and then that man died. He didn't have to die if you could go up some other way. But he died because there was no other way. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But see, it wasn't possible because somebody had to pay the price, and he was the one that was elected of God. To pay the price. He was the way maker and the problem solver. He was the life and the truth. And there was no way to heaven. He said, no man can come to the Father but by me. And I'll tell you tonight, you can't get in some other way. He said, I am the door, the sheepfold. If any man climb up any other way, he's the same as a thief and a robber. You may be a priest, and you may be calling yourself a prophet tonight, but if you ain't preaching Jesus, I fear for you, my friend. I'll tell you, find you a King James Bible somewhere. Find you somebody that knows something about the Lord Jesus Christ, and inquire of him and see what he'll tell you. I'll guarantee you he'll tell you you can't get to heaven some other way, but only through Jesus Christ and through that name. There's none other name given among men. The Bible says I'm under heaven. There's no way to get in this. My friend, there's one door, and Jesus said, I am the door, and I am the way, and I am the truth. And he said, I am the light of the world. He was the bread of life that they could eat. And I'm talking about the call of God. The Bible tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. And I'll tell you something, there's going to be a final election one day at the end of this road. One day you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account for what you've done in this body, whether it be good, whether it be bad. And, you know, I know people would fall out with me for saying that probably, but because they want to get into the particulars about the fine print and all of this, but you can go to the fine print later. Once you come to salvation, you can find out what the Bible says. You can get into it and begin to read and study, and you can find out if these ministers have been preaching right. But I'm just telling you tonight, you've got to get in first. You must first be born again. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he basically said, what can I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you must be born again, and whatsoever is born of the Spirit is spirit. And I'll tell you, you've got to have that spiritual birth. If you don't have that spiritual birth, you're never going to make it into heaven. But you can have it because Christ died to give it to you. Praise God. And I want to look here in 1 John 3:9-11. And the Bible said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's being born again, my friend. Born, B-O-R-N, born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And I want you to look over into, let me read one more. For this is the message, verse 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Brother John talked about love. I'll tell you, if you're a real Christian tonight, you love your neighbor, you love your brother, and you love the people that's around you, and you're trying to get them saved. And I just thank God for all my good Christian friends that I know, and all of them that helps support us with prayer and everything. But I want you to know out there, friend, if you're not saved, Jesus died on that cross to save you. I want to read some more scripture. It says, beloved, in 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Now I want to tell you tonight, if you don't love one another, you got a problem. You're never going to make heaven your home. You need to go back to that altar and get down and get a hold of God and begin to pray and begin to seek the Lord and get that hardness out of your heart and get that root of bitterness out, because we don't want nothing to keep us from making heaven our home. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Praise God. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Praise God. I know I'm probably running out of time. I don't have too much time left, but I want you to know something. Jesus loves you. He loves you tonight. He died for your sins and my sins on that cross. And you know, we sisters of God, we cannot... look down our nose at people, and we've got to be a light and a blessing to people. We cannot, let me go on to the next scripture. I want you to know tonight, Revelation, the Bible tells me there's going to be a great white throne judgment, And I tell you, you don't want to be there, my friend. You want to be in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. And you'll have eternal life if you get into that first resurrection. Praise God, because you must be born again, and you can do that today, my friend. Just ask the Lord to come into your heart and tell him, forgive me of my sins, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I'll serve you, Lord. I'll take up the cross. I'll follow you, Lord. Change me, Lord. Change my heart, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I come to you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, change me, Lord. Lord, help me, Jesus. Praise God. I think my time is pretty much, I got 1 minute, she's telling me right now. Praise God. So I hope you prayed that prayer. Get down to business, friend, with God. Get down there somewhere beside your bed or somewhere and call on Jesus and tell him, I'll serve you, Lord, and I believe on you, Lord. I believe that this Bible is true, and I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you're coming back again to take the church, to claim possession of this world, and to take this world back from the enemy that's trying to steal it. Praise God. The devil's trying to take this world over, my friend, but Jesus is coming back, and I'll tell you, hold on, because he's coming. Don't give up. He's coming again. Praise God. Thank you for being on the broadcast tonight. We appreciate all the ministers and everyone that's preached and said anything, turned in prayer requests. We love you all. God bless you.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.